This is the Soil Sense podcast, where we believe that building healthier soils is not just a prescription, but rather a pursuit. It's a journey that requires collaboration, curiosity, and communication among farmers, researchers, agronomists, consultants, and extension. You're going to hear their stories and discover how and why they're working together to make sense out of what's happening in the soil. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Soil Sense. I'm your host, Tim Hamrich. Today, Dr. Abby Wick and I have just a real short episode for you. This is our chance to close out Season 6 with some reflections, set the stage for Season 7, and talk about some big changes that are taking place. Those big changes include things like Abby's new job and also a big shift in the scope and direction of this podcast, so you definitely want to stick around to hear what you're in for. But first, let me start off by saying that the focus of this show will not be changing. We will remain laser focused on what soil health looks like in practice, and that curiosity, collaboration, and communication needed for systems change on the farm. But before we say what is changing and make some of those exciting announcements, let's just take a minute to reflect on Season 6. This season that we're wrapping up today, it's been kind of a unique one. You know, we combined some really fun interviews at Agronomy on Ice with some really interesting interviews of this trusted advisor partnership. So I think it's been very relevant content, but it's been a little bit different than our previous seasons. Talk about kind of your thoughts on why you wanted to bring those stories forward, specifically the trusted advisor partnership ones. The Agronomy on Ice ones are somewhat self-explanatory.
Yeah, those are fun. Yeah. I feel like Agronomy on Ice is easy because we're having a good time and we're catching people that we wouldn't normally catch.
It's a great cross-section. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, the Trust Advisor partnership, I think, you know, what we were realizing is, especially this first group of 12 crop advisors that went through our program, the Trust Advisor partnership, is that they have all this expertise that's virtually untapped, right? I mean, they're scouting on tens of thousands of acres, if not some of them are 100,000 acres. And they're trying new practices, they're guiding farmers through these practices. And the way that they're doing it is not based on the soil health principles, but based on solving a problem in the field. And I think that it sounds like it could be the same thing, but it's very different, I think, when you're looking at, you know, say you're gonna adopt a principle, you can say, okay, well, I'm gonna minimize disturbance. Well, if you're gonna minimize disturbance, it's kind of ambiguous. You don't really know like how you're gonna do it or why you're doing it. But if you say, I'm gonna conserve moisture in the fall, or, you know, if you're gonna do that, then you need to minimize disturbance because you need to build residue. And when you build residue, you also have to manage moisture in the spring, which means how you're gonna use cover crops. And then you have to adjust your herbicide applications and your fungicide. I mean, all those things come into play. And that's where the crop advisor's brain is going when they're solving a problem and then adopting these soil health principles within that framework. And so I think we captured quite a few of those stories, including, you know, one crop advisor who's working with potatoes. I mean, nobody puts soil health and potatoes in the same sentence, but you know, he's working in that area, trying to minimize the erosion that occurs on those fields because of the disturbance during harvest. And he's got pivots so he can use water to get cover crops growing. And I think there's, you know, there are so many things that we uncovered that I think are new, but they can also cross over in some ways to other high disturbance crops like sugar beets, which we also interviewed crop advisors working in sugar beets. And I think there's just gonna be a lot of new tips and ideas that come forward that whether you grow sugar beets or potatoes or whatever you're growing, if you think about what you need to accomplish based on a goal for that field, you're gonna find something in one of those episodes that's gonna be helpful.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. Well, and maybe before we dive into it, let's have you share the big change in your life, you know, the big career change that you went through and what's going on with that and what you're doing now.
Oh, man. So yeah, a huge change. I've been thinking about this one for a while. The Syngenta Group approached me about running their Soil Health Academy for their team. And so it would be taking the framework and the concepts that we've been doing in North Dakota and taking it global, which is insane to think about, going from this little state of North Dakota to all of a sudden, you know, starting in North America and then expanding it to all across the world. But the thing that I thought about in taking this job were our network maps with Soil Sense and thinking about how our target was North Dakota and we had all these dots in North Dakota, but then all of a sudden it was being listened to all over the world. And so that kind of scaling almost made it more comfortable for me. And taking this job was thinking about how these things can just kind of happen organically in some ways, but that it is totally possible to translate soil health and the concepts and the structure and the framework for delivery of information and network building to a global scale. I know we can do it. So yeah, I started a couple days ago that this new position, I suppose by the time this airs, it would be probably a month or so that I've been in this role. But June 1st, I started. It was really sad to pack up my office at NDSU because I'd been there 11 years. But I felt, you know, talking with the farmers I was working with in North Dakota, most of them said, you know, you can help us probably more in this role with ag industry or ag, product producer. I'm not even sure what to call ag tech company, I guess. You can help us more in that role than you can here locally. And I thought that said a lot, and that really gave me some confidence in taking this position.
That's fantastic. And so is the Soil Health Academy, does it already exist, or are you starting it for Syngenta?
I'm starting it. So at least the education piece of it. So Matt, that's with Syngenta, he started 9 months ago, and he's been hiring this whole team of individuals to work on this soil health effort with him. And so I seem to stumble into these positions that don't exist before, which is, I think, is something I kind of like, because the one at NDSU, nobody had filled that position before. It was brand new. It was something I could totally take from scratch and build into what it was. And I could listen and I could hear what people needed. And so I have the same opportunity here where nobody's done this before. And the questions that I have on even what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, their response is, well, that is what you're going to figure out. And so so I like that. I like not having something that's been structured or created prior to my arrival. And I can just kind of take it and pull all these pieces together and see what happens.
That's great. So how do you answer somebody who might say, why does Syngenta want to have a Soil Health Academy? Where does it fit into kind of the company?
That's great, because that was one of my questions to them when I was talking about this position. You know, I think from what I heard, it's one of the top priorities for them. I think they see all these other movements towards soil health with food and beverage industry, with research and science. And they're a very science-based company, which is one of the reasons that I accepted the position, was because of their commitment to science. So I think they want to be on the forefront of it. And, you know, maybe we've got some catch-up work to do because, you know, we're just getting going now. But I think they want to deliver, and I want to deliver, I guess I should say I, because I'm part of it now. You know, I want to deliver information to growers that are going to help them manage their inputs in a way, you know, I'm never going to be tied to product sales, but manage their inputs in a way that reflect soil health systems, so they can get effective weed control and they can use cover crops in a way that's going to be meaningful for their operation. And they can find the support they need from individuals, whether they're in ag retail or ag tech or the university, that they can find those connections to maximize their systems and to do it on a quicker scale than if they're trying to figure it out on their own. So when we talk about collaboration, I think that's going to be my life or continue to be my life well into the future, of just trying to get all these pieces talking and communicating and really getting these practices on the ground in a way that's lower risk and can be accelerated.
Great. Well, let's get to the important question. What does this mean for the Soil Sense podcast? And, you know, this season, particularly season six, you've taken more of an on mic role than ever, co-hosting, you know, multiple episodes, and it's been great. And so I'm sure everybody listening is like, please tell me, you know, we're not going back to just Tim. So what does this mean for Soil Sense and for your involvement?
Oh, gosh. Well, Tim, you came up with a great opportunity for us for Soil Sense and how to carry it forward. So you should talk about that part.
Well, so where to start? Kind of exciting is that we are expanding the show beyond just North Dakota to include several states, mostly in the Midwest of the U.S., but not entirely, throughout, you know, corn and soybean country, primarily through the Farmers for Soil Health initiative. And that initiative is one that is led by some commodity groups that is facilitating knowledge of planting cover crops for soil health in these states. And they approached us about doing a podcast, and we thought it would be a great collaboration to share that information through the established show we already have. So a lot of the same types of stories that you've been hearing, but with a more expanded scope, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not going anywhere. I get to co-host with you through all these, which is really exciting for me because I love learning. And every time we do one of these, record one of these episodes, Tim, I learn so much, because you and I have the benefit. We have like an hour talking with those individuals, and then you condense it down to, you know, 20 to 30 minutes. And I mean, I feel bad for the other people listening. They don't get the full hour of content we get. But
some might agree with you. Others would be like, oh, I'll stick to just 20 or 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Those conversations are so great. They really, God, they give me so many ideas on how to try new things. And I end up with this notebook full of ideas from those conversations. So Yeah, I can't wait to be talking to farmers from all over the place and people administering programs. And I mean, we're keeping that collaborative type foundation to the podcast. So I think we're going to uncover a lot of really cool stories.
That's what's exciting to me, because the early conversations were, okay, should we create a separate podcast for this? And then when we shared with them what Soil Sense was all about in terms of curiosity and collaboration, focused on, you know, people leading the way when it comes to soil health, but also addressing the realities of the challenges that they're facing locally, that seemed to really resonate with what they wanted. And so I'm excited to, yeah, kind of broaden to multiple states, but also keep the focus kind of right where it's always been.
Yeah. Was one of the individuals that's working with growers on this program was, you know, a little bit hesitant to get on the podcast for our first episode for that season. But I think now I think he's pretty excited because he can share his involvement, which sometimes those behind the scene roles that people are playing are really important. I mean, like the farmers will say, they can't get to where they're going without a crop advisor, without an organization that's giving them information or helping them, or, you know, testing what they're doing, or, you know, giving them feedback, or even just having a conversation about it. So I think those of us that tend to be on the background, you know, really coming forward and sharing what we know and how we're doing these things is critical for adoption of practices.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I think, you know, the big take homes for if you're wondering, like, okay, what's next for Soil Sense? Number one is that it's continuing on. In fact, it's going to continue on twice weekly for at least the next few months. The focus is going to stay the same on soil health, curiosity, collaboration, actually seeing what's happening on the ground and how people are facing challenges locally. But the geography is going to be expanded quite a bit to include several states that some of you are already listening from. It just happens that you've been listening to mostly North Dakota people in that. And, you know, I think it's going to be more of what you've heard this season, which is Abby and I co-hosting and interviewing some really, really interesting people. You know, as you go into this new role, you have this support of all the farmers you've worked with over the past dozen years or so. What excites you about kind of taking that to a more global audience?
I think what excites me most is that none of these farmers are going to go away. None of them are going to exit my life because I took a different job, and they're always going to stay my friends. And I think they're really excited to help guide some of this process too. I mean, they're going to be great for if I come up with an idea, I can call one of them and say, what do you think of this? And they'll tell me the honest truth. We all know farmers tell the truth. And I think it's going to be great. And I feel like I'm just taking them all with me. You know, I'm joining this new team and I'm really excited about this team I'm going to be with at Syngenta, but it's like I'm bringing, you know, however many hundreds of growers with me on this journey. And I think it's going to be great. I'm really excited for that piece of it. And I hope that I can continue to like do workshops with growers where I can get feedback from them on what's the latest greatest with soil health and crop advisors. I'll stay involved with the Trusted Advisor Partnership from a consulting level, an advisory level. So I'll still know what's going on there. And if I can participate in their phone calls and still get that information, they're going to tell me how I can be really useful in this role. So yeah, I'm excited. I don't feel like I'm leaving anyone behind or changing real positions at all. I feel like I'm just kind of transitioning and bringing everyone with.
Yeah. And what you just said there reminds me of what I think is the most underappreciated part of having a podcast. It's that it's intentional listening. You know, we talk about communications, and whenever we talk about communications, it's always like, well, what can we tell people? What messages should we put together? How should we distribute those messages? What platform should we be on? And like, never do people say like, well, how are we going to listen to what questions people really have, or what problems people are really facing, or what's actually going on the farm? And that's what having a podcast can do. If you're interviewing farmers, is it just gives you a very focused way of saying like, look, I want to hear what's actually happening. And yes, maybe that will inform a lot of other communications efforts in the more like traditional definition of communications. But like, I think anyone who doesn't have a podcast, which is perfectly fine if you don't, ought to have a very intentional strategy about how you are listening and collecting firsthand information.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I think too, I mean, so you and I have been trying to like formalize these questions we might ask people who come on the podcast. And it's nearly impossible because you and I are listening to what they're saying. And the questions we're asking are in response to the information we're gathering as they're talking. And I feel, yeah, so many people, when you try to formalize things, you can't get that level. And if you are going to formalize, you better have a way, like you're saying, to have that active listening and way to respond to it.
Right. So soil health is just in a really interesting time right now. And I think you may not like this, but I'm going to say it. Your career arc is in some ways kind of like a good microcosm for what's happening in soil health, right? So like you were hired to be the first soil health specialist in North Dakota for North Dakota State University Extension. You built this amazing program. You got people really excited. You started this Trust Advisor Partnerships, which gets food companies involved. And now you're off to Syngenta, which is, you know, a dozen years ago, probably would not be hiring someone for Soil Health Academy, right? It's like, it's a indicator of where the world is right now. So I'm curious from your perspective, as you go take on this new challenge with Syngenta, what do you think the next 3 to 5 years look like for soil health? And I know that's a really broad question and a hard question, but I'm curious if you can look in your crystal ball a little bit.
Yeah. And looking at the past, right, I think there have been all these little pockets and different people in different industries within agriculture working towards this common goal of soil health, but they've not necessarily been connected. You know, you have different food and beverage companies, even they were working individually before, and then Trust Advisor Partnership brought them together to work towards a common effort and to pool their resources, whether it's financial or manpower or ideas. It's pulling people together. And I think that's what we're going to see in the next several years is that, you know, Syngenta is not just going to be doing their own program. They're going to be intertwined with other programs, probably not our direct competitors, right? But the food and beverage companies are showing that you can work with your direct competitors too. So maybe that's not out of the realm of things, but I think we're going to see a lot more crossover amongst groups and organizations. I think there's going to be no real leader in the efforts, but I think everybody's going to be leading within their own field, but combined and aware of what others are doing and pulling forth those efforts as well. And that's what I think gets me most excited. I think everything is set up right now for this amazing collaboration amongst all these people working in soil health to actually make a difference and to pool our resources in a way that's meaningful and useful. And hopefully the growers are the primary benefit of that.
Well, I have no doubt you are going to be one of the people leading the charge. So I'm excited to see where it goes from here and excited for, you know, this next chapter for Soil Sense. So thank you for making all this happen. And I don't know, I still truly believe we're creating a valuable resource for anyone interested in building healthier soils and that we have a lot more work to do in that area. So thank you for making it happen.
Which is great. I'm glad we have more work than you and I can keep doing this.
And continue on, we will. All right, well, that's it for today's big announcements in Season 6 Reflections. Stay tuned for the launch of Season 7 very, very soon. We already have several episodes in the can, just waiting to start releasing those. As we mentioned, through Farmers for Soil Health, we will be expanding to not just North Dakota, but also 19 other states. So for a total of 20 states, which include Delaware, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, Tennessee, Virginia, and Wisconsin. If you'd like a sneak peek of what Farmers for Soil Health is all about, you can visit their website, farmersforsoilhealth.com. I'd like to thank one more time our sponsors for Season 6 of the Soil Sense podcast, the North Central Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education Program, the North Dakota Corn Council, the North Dakota Wheat Commission, the North Dakota Soybean Council, the North Harvest Dry Bean Association, the North Dakota Barley Council, and Anheuser-Busch. If you're getting value from this podcast, we'd love it if you'd leave us a rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or both, and share your favorite episodes on social media using the hashtag SoilSense. We'll be back with a brand new season very soon.